On May the 7th of 2011, the Wall Street Journal carried an article by a gentleman named Eric Greitens, and the title of the article was The Seal, S-E-A-L, Sensibility. And in that article, Greitens, a former Navy SEAL, divulged to his readers the one quality that, in his opinion, was most necessary for an individual to become and effectively serve as a Navy SEAL. I found his answer somewhat surprising. He said, "The rigors that SEALs go through begin on the day they walk into basic underwater demolition SEAL or BUDS training in Coronado, California." I'm kind of reading part of his article. "Universally recognized as the hardest military training in the armed forces, BUDS lasts a grueling 6 months. The classes include large contingents of high school and college track and football stars, national champion swimmers, top-ranked wrestlers and boxers. And even though many of the individuals," he says, "who enter the BUDS program are physically fit and strong, only about 10 to 20% of those who begin the training ever become a SEAL. What kind of person," he asks, "makes it through the rigorous training and actually becomes a Navy SEAL?" "That's hard to say, but I know generally who won't make it. There are a dozen types that fail. The weightlifting meatheads who think that the size of their biceps is an indication of their strength. The preening leaders who don't want to get dirty. And the look-at-me former athletes who've always been told they are stars." Charlie's kind of shaking his head here. "In short, those who fail are usually the ones who focus on self and have an 'it's all about me' attitude. Almost all the ones who survive the training and become SEALs possess, in my opinion," he says, "one common quality. They are the ones who, even in great pain, faced with the test of their lives, have the ability to step outside of their own pain, put aside their own fears, and ask, 'How can I help the guy next to me?' SEALs have more than courage and great physical strength. They also have a heart large enough to think about their fellow man." I find that interesting. According to this former Navy SEAL, in order to achieve the status of SEAL and to be successful in that role, individuals have to have not just courage and not just great strength, but the willingness to ask, "How can I help the guy next to me?" In other words, to borrow from the pen and the words of the Apostle Paul, those who make it as Navy SEALs are willing to look not only to their own interests, but to the interests of others. Isn't it interesting that the same quality that makes for a great Navy SEAL, the willingness to put aside one's own needs for the sake of others, is also one of the great qualities of a successful disciple of Jesus Christ? A healthy follower of Christ is one who embraces the attitude of not "what can you do for me?" Not "what can the church do for me?" But "what can I do to help you? And what can I do to help the church, the body of Christ, be all that God would want it to be. A healthy follower of Christ is one who has a servant mentality. This morning, we're going to continue our look at the theme, Don't Go to Church, Be the Church. And as we continue this theme, I want to challenge us this morning to see that being the church means embracing and demonstrating a servant's mentality. A mentality that ultimately says and asks, not what can the church do for me, but what can I do for the body of Christ to make it all that God would want it to be. Let's begin with a quick look at the biblical basis for this idea. Just how biblical and how important is it for us to have a servant mentality? Two scriptures we're going to look at here real quickly. If you want to mark one, in just a moment we'll look at Philippians chapter 2. But I want us to begin here in just a moment with a quick peek at a passage in Mark chapter 9. So if you want to hold on to those two places, we'll be ready to go in just a moment. The word servant occurs some 57 times in the New Testament, so it's a pretty common word. Now, sometimes it's used to refer to somebody who's actually in the role of a household servant, but often it is used in reference to the role that we are to assume as disciples of Christ. Jesus taught his followers the importance of being a servant and the necessity of having a servant mentality. On one occasion, the 12, which is how the apostles are sometimes referred to in Scripture, the 12 being a reference to those 12 men who were selected by Jesus to serve as apostles. On one occasion, the 12 were walking with Jesus down the road, and apparently they got into an argument that seems to have been something they argued about frequently among themselves. And that argument was, who among them was the greatest? Verse 33, they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, Jesus asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? Now, I suspect he knew the answer to that question, but he wanted to confront them about it. And so he raises the question, knowing full well the answer, but he wants them to fess up to what they were doing. Verse 34, but they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. After nearly 3 years of walking with Jesus, hearing him preach and teach and talk about the importance of serving and the danger of selfishness, and watching him from morning till late into the night, pouring himself out in service to others, here these men are now 3 years into this thing, and they're still arguing among themselves about which one is the greatest. And what that says to me is that there seems to be something about the human condition that makes us think selfishly. There seems to be something about being a human being that makes us more likely to ask the question, what can you do for me? Rather than, what can I do for you? There seems to be something about our condition as human beings that makes us inherently selfish people and think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and think that others ought to bow down to us and do what we want because we're all that and we deserve that. And it's interesting to see that dynamic at work in these disciples of Jesus. They were a lot like us. We are a lot like them. In them we see ourselves. And they struggled with this me first kind of attitude. And Jesus has been working now for 3 years to try to correct that, to try to help them see things differently, to help them realize that if they're going to be like Him, if they're going to be like their teacher, their rabbi, if they're going to be like the one they're following, they've got to learn how to put other people first. And so Mark tells us that Jesus sitting down, and that's usually key, because whenever Jesus has something to say that's really important, it seems like He would sit down. In Matthew's gospel, when Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount, we're told that He went up onto the mount and took a seat. And so it's almost like when Jesus had something that He really, really wanted to communicate to His people, He would sit down. And so Jesus sits down. And He calls these men to Him and He says to them, anyone who wants to be first must be last and the servant of all. And so Jesus very clearly here lays out not just for these 12, but for any of us who would come after Him and follow Him, that in order to follow Him, in order to be effective in our discipleship, in order to be like our teacher, we have to have a servant's mentality. We have to be willing to deny ourselves and put others first. We have to be willing to clothe ourselves in the makings and the wardrobe of a servant. Jesus says, even I, your master, your teacher, did not come so that others might serve me, but so that I might serve them. And the same is true for His people today. If we are to be effective followers of Jesus, we have to begin to change the way many of us have thought and even continue to think, and that is, this is all about me. This is about what I want. This is about how I want things to be. This is about how I want to be treated. We have to learn to put that aside and to begin to think about what can I do for the person beside me? What can I do to make the church, the body of Christ, not what I want it to be, but what Jesus would want it to be? One of the best descriptions of this mentality that we're talking about is found in Philippians 2, the other verse that I told you we would look at briefly. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, Paul says this incredible statement. He says, in your relationships with one another, have this mindset, have this attitude. Some of your translations may read differently there. Some will say, have this mind. The NIV says, have this mindset. Some may have this attitude. But you get the point of what Paul is saying here. The way Jesus' attitude was, the way Jesus' mind was, we're to have that same kind of attitude, that same kind of mindset. And what kind of mindset did Jesus have? Well, verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage, but rather He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Notice what the servant mentality of Jesus led Him to do. It led Him to let go of His equality with God and not use that resource to His advantage, but rather to use who He was, what He had been, not for Himself, but for the good of others. It led him to empty himself of all the rights and privileges that he had and to take on instead the form of a servant. And it led him to humbly obey the Father, even to the point of willingly giving up his life on a cross. Jesus had this mindset. He had this attitude about himself. And that attitude manifested itself in these ways. He didn't use what could have been his advantage for himself, but rather for the good of others. Emptying himself of all the rights and the privileges that he had so that he could become a servant and humbly obey the Father even to the point of death. Powerful passage there about the mind of Christ, what led him to come and do what he did for those of us gathered in this room and for every individual who's ever lived and ever will live on this planet. But the thing to keep in mind is that this passage in Philippians is not just a description about Jesus, because remember what Paul says as he gets into this text. He says, in your relationships with one another, have this mind in you. Have this same mindset. Have this same attitude. So the end of this is that every one of us needs to have the same mentality, the same attitude that Jesus had. And if we have that, here's what it will lead us to do. It will lead us to use our resources for the good of others, not just for ourselves. As it led Jesus to empty himself and take on the role of a servant, if we have a servant's mentality, that will lead us to empty ourselves of self and embrace the role of a servant as well. And if we have a servant mentality like that of Christ, then we're going to humbly obey the Father and die to self that we might be used to the glory of God and the benefit of others, just as Christ was. And so this passage in Philippians is not just a description of Jesus, but it's also a description of his followers. This is who we are called to be. We are called to have the same mind, the same attitude, the same spirit of Jesus, and that means we are to embrace a servant's mentality. We're to die to self and begin to live out our lives as followers of Christ with the attitude that not what can you do for me, but rather what can I do for my fellow man? How can I live my life in a way that honors my Father, gives glory to Him, and helps my neighbor? Now, one of the things that Mark and I think both have said we want to try and do in this series of lessons on Don't Go to Church, Be the Church, is try to make these lessons not only biblical, but also as practical as we can. And so having looked at the biblical basis for having a servant mentality, we're now positioned to ask the question, okay, what exactly does that mean for us as baptized believers of this community of disciples known as the University Church of Christ? Well, on a very practical level, it means every one of us who is a member of this family of baptized believers should be looking for ways to use his or her resources, talents, strengths, abilities, gifts, whatever God has given us in a way that honors our God and blesses this body as it tries to do the work that God has called us to do in this community. Every single one of us who claims to be not just a follower of Christ, but a united follower of Christ in the context of this family called the University Church of Christ, every one of us has a role to play within this body. And we need to be fulfilling that function. We need to be fulfilling. We need you as a member of this church to use what God has given you in a way that helps us do the work that God has called us to do. On the first Sunday of this series of lessons, those of you who were here, hopefully will remember that Mark preached out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A passage where Paul talks about how every member of the body has an important role and function to fulfill. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the analogy of the human body to make a point about the spiritual body. And there in that passage, he talks about things like our feet and our hands and our ears and our eyes. And he makes the point that what a disfigured, dysfunctional, disabled body it would be if the entire body was nothing but a foot. Or if the entire body was nothing but an ear. Or the entire body was nothing but an eye. What a disfigured body that would be. What a dysfunctional body that would be. If all the body was just an eye, there'd be no hands to grab hold of things with. There'd be no feet to move us from one place to another. There'd be no ears to hear, just an eye. What a disfigured body that would be. We see that, don't we? How that would not be good. Well, the point Paul's making there is not just about the human body, but the real point he's making is how the body of Christ, the church, should function. In the church, the body of Christ, we're all different. We all have different experiences, different talents, different gifts, different abilities, different experiences, different backgrounds. And yet, when you bring all of those together, God can make them all work together for His good when each one is willing to be used. The strength of our body here is our diversity. Right? This is not a church of Charlies. Thank the Lord, right? What a disfigured, dysfunctional, disabled body this would be if all that we had around here was a bunch of little Charlies. Good Lord, what a mess this place would be. Or if all we had around here was a bunch of little Bobby Martins, a bunch of little accountants running around with pencils and pens and calculators adding up money. I couldn't be part of that body. Because I'm mathematically challenged, as my family will quickly tell you. The strength of this family lies in our diversities. In the Bobbies and the Jasons and the Richies and the Charlies and the Glendas and the Derricks and the Katies and the Chips and the Bobbies and the Ricks, where the strength of this family is that we're diverse. But in order for that strength to be capitalized and used, all of us have to sense the importance that we have and to be willing to say, "Here I am. Use me." It's not, as a member of this church, what can this church do for me? But it's, as a member of this baptized group of believers, what can I do to help this church be all that God wants it to be? And so we come together as baptized believers, united in our faith in Christ and our devotion to serve Him together with the attitude, what can I do? How can I help? How can I use what God has given me to be a blessing to this church and the work that this church is trying to do in this community and beyond in a way that brings glory and honor to our head, the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and has given us life? As a baptized believer who has expressed a desire to join and be a part of this community of faith, followers of Christ here, the question should never be, I wonder, should I be serving? No, the question is, what can I do to help this family be the servant church that God has called her to be? So, what you bring to the table is not unimportant. What you bring to the table, though different than what I bring to the table, though different than what Bobby brings to the table, or any of our other shepherds or anybody else in here, though different, is necessary in order for this body to function the way God designed it to function. For us to do the works that God has placed before us in this community and beyond, we need every member saying, not what can you do for me, but what can I do to help this church be all that God wants her to be. When we all start thinking like that, that's when we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, and that's when we're going to begin to do and continue to do the works that God has placed before us as His church. So, in closing, if you're not a member of this family, we invite you to join us. Listen to me closely. If you've been baptized in obedience to Christ, you're already a member of His family. You're already a member of His church. If you've been baptized in obedience to Christ, we're not going to require you to be rebaptized to join this community of baptized believers. If you've been immersed in obedience to Jesus, we're going to trust that Jesus is already at work in your life. Our invitation to you is come join us, join hands with us, and let's begin to work and serve this community and beyond in the name of Christ. And so we invite you, if you're not a member of this body of believers, join us. Join hands with us. Let's begin to work together. Use what God has given you to be a blessing to this church and this community and this world as we share hands and join hands together as followers of Christ. Now, if you've never confessed the name of Christ and you've never been baptized in the name of Christ, we invite you to join Christ and then join us as we seek to serve Him to the best of our ability. So that's why from time to time you'll hear us offer an invitation to those who've never named the name of Christ, as you'll sometimes hear it prayed about in our prayers. To those who've never experienced that signature moment in life that joins us to Christ in a powerful way, that symbolic baptism where we die to self and are born anew to the power of God at work in our lives. If you've never experienced that, we offer an invitation to join Jesus today in His name fully, to become His disciple, empowered by His Spirit, created to do good works that God created for you to do even before you named Christ as your Lord. If you've got an interest in serving in some capacity, let us know. We'll do everything we can to point you in the right direction to the right people where you can begin to use what God has given you in a way that honors Him and helps your fellow man. Don't go to church. Be the church. Let's all learn to embrace and demonstrate a servant mentality. And let's keep asking and learning as a family. Not what can this church do for me, but what can I do to help this church be all that God wants it to be? Bless your neighbor. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.